Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Welcome back to Uncladded, and I'm your host, Samba. Uncladded, where we strip away the fake, the forced, and the polite lies, and talk about the real stuff that shapes our lives. Today's episode, it's very personal. Well, to me, and I'm sure to most mothers out there, and in general, most parents, but you will know the reason why I said most mothers. We're talking about honest conversation with our first born child, our first child. Now, let me say this. If you're a parent of more than one, you know your first born was your trial run. is like a guinea pig. You know, it's your first trial run. Because you're still figuring out how you're going to do it. You're figuring out every day of your life with that baby. Because you're new to it. But most of us don't want to accept it. Sometimes you nail it. Sometimes you wish you could hit the undo button. But unfortunately, you can't. But you can do something about it. Accepting your wrongdoings and making it up in a better way. Whether your first child is 5, 15, or 20, your relationship with them set the tone for how they see you. And more importantly, how they learn to tell the truth. My first question for you. When is the last time your first child told you something you didn't want to hear? Did you get defensive? Did you shut down? Or did you lean in and listen? I want you to hold that answer in your mind. We're going to circle back to it later. But now, let's get into it. Why firstborn conversations are different? We're going to talk about it. You know, being the firstborn comes with pressure. Sometimes a lot of it. They are the kids you had when you were still figuring out how to pay the bills, how to sleep through the night, and how to not burn the spaghetti or burn the egusi or burn the rice. Because you know, sometimes you don't sleep all night, and the next day you have to cook for yourself and your husband and whoever is living with you. In between, you might doze off. So at that time, you're still figuring it out. Because you've been enjoying your parents paying bills, doing everything for you, but now is your turn. And that is when you appreciate your parents more. Because that is when you understand their struggles. Bringing you up, training you, and giving you everything you needed as a child. So you're still figuring it out. You see, the thing with firstborn, they grow with the strictest rules, highest expectations, and the least experienced version of you as a parent. Do you know that? Yeah, somebody just text me a story. He said, when my first child was about 6, I asked them to clean their room. And I expected it to be spotless, like a Pinterest photo. He said, I walked in 10 minutes later and got upset because it wasn't perfect. And that is the problem with we first-time parents. We expect these children to know more. We treat them like adults, which is not supposed to be. Because when you sit down, you think about it, you will know that they are just children, they are just growing up. They probably think, you know, picking up one sock was enough. Cleaning. They probably think, oh, picking their clothes off the floor is cleaning. They won't think about, you know, sweeping the floor and getting everything neat and tidy, because in our head, we have kind of you know, we kind of fix it in like they are supposed to be perfect. We are not even perfect because we're still learning. We're using them to learn. And let me tell you one thing. The way you treat your firstborn child is different from the way you treat the rest of them. Yeah, you won't want to accept that. But it's true. Because after treating the first child, then you will learn, oh, I've been so tough on her. Then when the second child comes, you'll be more careful. And she will feel cheated, like, why? Why do I have to do everything? You didn't let me go to do sleepover with my friends. You didn't let me go to party with my friend. But you're allowing my sister and my brother to do it. At this age, I was not allowed to do certain things. At this age, I was not allowed to go to parties. I was not even allowed to wear knicker. I'm speaking like my daughter, I guess. You know? You see, sometimes you're not just mad. You just feel that is exactly how things are supposed to be done. Think about your first child early years. Was there something you expected them to understand, but now you realize it was too much for their age? Keep that thought. I will be back. Let's go on a short break. It's your girl, Samba. Don't go.
Scribbled notes in an old school book. I still hear your laughter down the hall. This quiet house don't echo much at all. I tried to be strong when I didn't have answers. Held your hands through the storms and the tears. Some days I wonder if I got it all. Is what you felt all those years. I hope you know through every stumble.
Welcome back. It's your girl Samba, and this is still Uncluttered. You know, I'll let you know something. I've got my daughter, my first child, in the studio with me. She's 20 years old, and you know, immediately we went on a break. I said, "Oh, mommy, you know, so you know, yeah." Adefa, welcome to Uncluttered.
Thank you, Mom.
We always talk about this. I always say this to you all the time. Mm-hmm. That don't be upset with me. I'm still learning. And what do you always call yourself if I say I'm still learning?
No, mommy, you call me a guinea pig.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you have to say?
I mean, I'll say that I get it. It's not as it's true. Obviously, when you're doing something for your first time, you will never know the exact way to do something because it is your first time. So it's a learning process and a learning curves. And like they always say, you know, the more you practice makes perfect. So I agree with you.
Well, how long did it take you to understand this?
20 years.
And you're still trying to understand?
Yeah, still am. Yeah.
It took you 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you now understand?
I think it just comes with age and maturity. Because when I was younger, it's like I heard it, but in my head, it's just like, oh, it's not fair. But now that I'm an adult and I'm doing things myself, and even when I have to tell my siblings to do things, it's like I won't get it right. It's only now I'm learning how to tell them to do things. So it's like you will never get something until, you know, you experience it yourself.
For example, until you start paying bills.
Yeah, that one is not good.
You don't like that part.
No, it's not nice.
That one is not nice.
I think we should cut that part out.
We should cut that part out?
Yeah.
But you don't like paying bills?
No. No.
You don't want to be adult anymore?
Oh, well, I do. Just not that part.
Oh, no. They come together. It's a full package. You need to learn to pay bills, to do things for yourself, buy your own clothes, buy your own shoes, buy your own dinners.
Don't worry, mommy, my adult is different.
Your adult is different.
Yeah.
So, earlier when I was saying you should think about, you know, your first child early years, was there something you expected them to understand? But now you realize it was too much for their age. If you're listening live, you can send me your answers or you can call on 0744-881-1570. If you are listening live, you can call me 0744-881-1570. You know, when we know where our expectations were unrealistic, we can start to repair it. You know, is always good for us to understand when we're not doing good or when we're going wrong. I always say this, it is not wrong for you to apologize to your child. What is it that we're teaching you when we apologize, when we do something wrong?
I think it taught me that you're never too big to say sorry. So even now when I upset my younger siblings, even though I take 10 years, I'll still say sorry.
Exactly. You see, trust is like a bank account. You need to teach them to trust you. Because every time you keep your word, you make a deposit. Every time you break a promise, you make a withdrawal. We're talking about the foundation of trust. And the problem, you know, with kids, withdrawal feels bigger. Because when you miss one important event, it can feel to them like the whole account is empty. I'll give you an example. A dad promised to come to his daughter's first soccer game. Unfortunately, work get busy. He missed it. Definitely he would say, oh, I'll come to the next one. But that moment, the first game, she remembers he wasn't there. As parents, we don't need to be perfect. But we need to be consistent enough that our kids believe us when we say, I'll be there. It's very, very important. It's very, very important. Because they're going to see it as a normal thing. And you don't know how these kids look forward to seeing you at their event. And it will break your heart when they say to you, oh, every of my friends, they had their parents there, and I was looking everywhere for you. I couldn't find you. You see, when we hear things like that, some of us shove it aside like it means nothing. It means a lot. To them, that feels like a heartbreak. When they see other parents being there and you are not there, and they were actually looking forward. In short, sometimes they don't concentrate because what they're doing is looking around to spot you. And they know in their mind, yes, my mom is there, my dad is there. Oh, they're rooting for me. I'm doing great. It's a lot. So tell me, what's one small deposit you can make this week for your child? It could be showing up for their event or keeping a bedtime story promise or just calling them when you say you will. So, Ade, if they're coming to you again, can you tell me what it feels like, you know, being the first child? Because you see, this program is about saying it the way it is, being real. Like somebody was telling me the other time, oh, you shouldn't talk about your late husband, you shouldn't talk about your personal. No, what example am I giving if I'm not talking about things that are personal to me? Because this is real. This is where we say it exactly the way it is. So don't go anywhere. Stay. We're going to go on a short break and we will be back.
From the moment I saw you, my world found its way. Tiny hands reaching, your fingers in mine. You're the light in my days, my joy every night. I'll hold you forever with all of my might. When you fall, I'll be there. Every step, every prayer. In your laughter, your tears, I will stand.
Yeah, welcome back to Uncluttered. So, Ade,
yeah,
how does it feel being the firstborn child in the family?
I think I'll speak of it from a perspective of being the firstborn daughter, because I know there's also firstborn sons, but
No, firstborn is firstborn.
Yeah, but I think
the
like
first child.
I think the weight is definitely different being a firstborn girl or being a firstborn boy, because there's a difference between being a firstborn woman and a firstborn man.
Okay.
Because you know, if you're a firstborn boy, you have to take the role and leadership of a man of the house.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't take that because I'm a firstborn girl. But I would say, like, I'll be honest that it's hard. It's not an easy thing, being the firstborn, because the responsibilities of your younger siblings kind of lies on your shoulder, and you have to be the one to, you know, take the fall for a lot of things if they're not doing things correctly. And I think I struggled with it a lot growing up because I always felt like, oh, it's not fair. Like, why does it have to be me when it's not me doing this certain things? But growing up now and being like more mature, I understand that I'm the one that's going to have to take care of them, and that they look up to me to be the person to see, like, oh, how am I supposed to act? They see how I work and what I do. And if I'm not doing things I'm supposed to do, then they won't either.
So how do you mean when you say you are the one to take care of them?
So I mean it as though, like, they look up to me as their big sister. I take care of them.
Okay, like, they'll watch your steps.
Yeah, like, they're watching me. They're like, you know, this is how my big sister is. I'll take it, like, for example, from, like, my little sister, like, she'll always say, oh, no, I don't want to be like you, but I see it. I see it in her little mannerisms of when she, like, she wants to use my things or wear my stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean, like, taking care for me to be a good example to them in the ways that I do. Because if I'm doing things wrong, they're going to think it's okay. So I'll say being an older sibling or being the firstborn is not easy because you have a huge responsibility on your shoulders to be a role model for your siblings and also be a role model for yourself. You know, you're the one that kind of has to set the path and show them these are the kind of things you should do and this is how you should achieve things, you know. I can't fail at my studies because I need them to know that you have to excel at your studies too, you know. You know, I can't, yeah, I'm watching my own moves because I know that I can't go and tell my siblings, oh, do this if I've not done it myself. You know.
Okay. So now growing up, do you think it's going to be the same way if in future you get married and you have your own first child? Do you think is the same pattern you're going to use, or you're going to use a different pattern?
I think it will be like, I think I'll use different tactics in certain areas, but it will all be the same because you've established in me some like core values that I want to teach my children when I grow up. So those core values will always be the core values, but I think maybe some things I might do different.
Yeah, you know, I spoke about this last week. You know, I was talking about the way we were being raised, you know, by our parents. And I was saying there are some things that we grew up with that's supposed to be upgraded. Because I think you are the Gen Z. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not so current about all this Gen Z and new stuff. I'm sorry. You know, you see, she just said it. She has learned the core value. But then there are a few things that she would do differently. She wasn't with me last week and she didn't even bother to listen to my program. I have to deal with that later. You know, and she is actually saying the same thing. So the world is growing. If we can update our wardrobes, if we can update the way we do things, because when I was growing up, there was nothing like, you know, traveling on holiday. You know, we just do the same thing. Doing the same, the only thing we're not doing is we're not going to school. We're just going to do the same thing. There's nothing like, oh, maybe traveling to somewhere. But now things are different. We need to start doing things, you know, differently. Upgrade the things, you know, because life is changing. Life is changing totally. Diva, I see you. So let's continue. You know, let's talk about the first, you know, big conversation. You have to get used to, you know. There's always the first big talk, the one where your child tests how open you really are. Did you by any chance, you know, feel like you have that open relationship
with you?
Don't look at my face.
All right,
I don't bite. This is unclouded.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always felt like I could come and speak to you about things, but I'll say obviously there's some things as kids we don't tell our parents everything, But like, I will definitely come to you for advice because I've learned my lesson multiple times enough to know that mom knows best.
Seriously?
Yeah, life has kicked me in the bum many times. So, okay. And then I realized, oh, you know what? Maybe I actually should have listened to my mom when she told me to do this instead.
Well, it's good to hear that. And I also spoke about this last week also. There are things that your children will not tell you.
Yeah.
It is normal. It's not because they don't trust you, but because they just feel sometimes that they are not grown enough to have that kind of conversation with their parents. Sometimes they feel embarrassed. Is that correct to say?
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They rather discuss with their friends than, you know, discussing with you. You know, it might be when they ask you about, you know, dating. I know I had that conversation with you, but it's just like preparing you for that time, because no child is going to come and tell you, oh, mom, I'm going to start dating, or mom, this is when me and my girlfriend, we're going to, or they pick a date to have sex and things like that. They don't. So you need to speak to them about it. You need to talk to them about it. We know how our parents didn't do that with us. So we need to summon courage and be able to do that with our children so that they will learn. And also it might be when they tell you they fail the test. So what do you do when your child comes to you and they tell you they fail the test? Yeah, I know what most of us. Ah, when I was your age, me, I used to score A1. Worst come to worst, I get C. Nah, lie. Why not they lie? Most of us, we don't know book. We know nothing. And that is the truth. But because our kids, they were not there, or they don't have somebody to tell them. You know, sometimes maybe we should ask grandmas and say, was my mom or dad? You agree with that?
Yeah, I think I'll do that today.
I wasn't talking to you. I never did that to you.
Yeah, you never did that.
So why would you call my mom? No, you don't need to call. I've got my results. I have them. I will show you. You understand? How do we go about it? And sometimes it might be when they ask you hard questions, you know, about the world. The way you handle the first conversation set the tone for everyone that follows. Because if you make them feel that you're hard to talk to, they will never come to you. They will rather go outside and ask somebody else or talk to somebody else. So let's go back to the old, you know, school version of parents. It's about why, or because I said so. That's why. Why can't we just tone it down and do something? I mean, say something like, okay, I get that you want freedom. As a mom, as a father, I have to make sure you're safe. And that is why the rule is there right now. And let them know when it might change. That is how you have conversation with your children. Don't make them feel that they can't talk to you. Don't make them feel like, you know, you are Shango Lukoso. Sorry, which English can I use for the version of Shango? You know Shango, the one that has... Please, do you have fire? The one that, you know, puts fire out of the mouth. Which, what's that 1001 Dalmatian, that woman?
Cruella de Vil.
Cruella. You don't want your children to see you as Cruella. You know? Do you know the difference between the two? One shuts the door, the other leaves the door open. When the door is open, your children will feel comfortable to come to you, discuss with you, say things to you, share things with you. So think of one because I said so moment you've had. Rewrite it in a way that keeps the conversation going instead of shutting it down. Can you do that? Now let's talk about mistake parents make with the firstborn. Like I said before, we expect perfection. I've done that mistake before. I won't lie, she's right here. I've done it before. And it's not like we enjoy doing it. It's because we're still learning. When I make that mistake, I do apologize to my children. I call them. This is why I reacted this way. And I'm sorry if I yell at you. And I do tell them, you need to study me. Know when I'm in the mood for talk. And if I am not, write me a note. I still have like about 1,000 notes that I have not finished reading since last day that my children compiled. Most of them are lovely. Some are things that they want a little bit of, you know, change, which is fair enough. Don't let your, I know, yeah, you always say, oh, I'm not your friend, I'm your mother. They understand that, but just leave that space for them to be able to come back to you anytime they need to. And we African parents, we punish more than we praise. That is another thing. We punish more than we praise. I have this thing that I do with my children. When they do something wrong, I talk to them about it. And when you do something right, what do?
You say thank you and you let me know that you see that I'm doing things right.
That is what we have to do. This thing is not it's no big deal. Unless we are that kind of parent that we want our children to fear us instead of respecting us. It's two different things. Don't let your children fear you. Let them respect you. Let them love you. Let them be able to have conversation with you. No matter how tough. And one other thing that we do, we make them example for younger siblings. Honestly, I can admit that I've done one of this, which I expect perfection. I expect them to clean the way I will clean. You know, I expect them to brush every morning. I expect them to have their bath every day. But picking away day here, sometimes 2 days they never bath. And they will tell you that, oh, the doctor says, or whatever Google or whatever they are watching says, it's not good to have your bath all the time because something on your skin. What did they say? What's on your skin?
I don't know. It's not me that's saying it.
They bring up one excuse or the other. You know, we really need to change. I am not saying that our culture is not good or our upbringing is not good. I'm just saying there are some few things that need changes. So which one do you think you have done? Which one? I'll leave you to think about it and I'll go on a short break. I'm still your host, don't forget, Samba. Stay there.
I watched you take your first small steps, held your hand so you wouldn't fall. Through the longest nights, and pray the Lord would bless you all.
Mama, I see the lines on your face. Years of love never gone to waste. You gave your all, you gave us life. Your sacrifice was our guiding light.
Through every storm, through every fight,
welcome back. The song that just played now is called Mother's Love and is a sad tribute. Now, this is for you young adults out there. I want to tell you something. And you, please, you need to listen to this. If you still have your mom, if you still have your dad, this is the time to love them. Because if you don't love them now, when they are gone, you will miss them. Trust me. If it's your father that is still alive, show them love. And one thing I'm going to tell you, we are not perfect at all. We're just trying. We raised you based on how we were raised. Not knowing whether it's wrong or right. But some of us, we change when we realize it's wrong. No matter what your dad or your mom have done to you in the past, please let go. Because when you start having your own children, then you will understand that it's not easy to be a parent. No, it is not. Honestly, it is not. Because there are times you want to talk to them, but you just go and sit at their grave. And you'll be talking, but nobody's hearing you. They are gone. Even if you go to their grave and say, oh, mama, I'm so sorry. I wish I had loved you. I wish I had listened to you. Oh, ma, you just talk to Breeze. Nobody's hearing you. So this is the right time to do the right thing. So let's go back to the topic. Having honest conversation with your first child. Now, which one of these do you think you've done most? Expecting perfection when you punish more than you praise, when you make example for younger siblings. Think about it. And if you're brave, think about what you might need to apologize for. Yes, you can apologize. Parents can apologize too. Don't get it wrong, because you're teaching them. When you do that, you're teaching them. Maybe you don't understand that. And it is very powerful when we do. Honestly, it is. Because they trust you more. They listen to you more. Because they know if what you're doing is wrong, you will admit it. You're teaching them to admit also. Then how do you invite honesty from them? Kids won't tell you the truth if every time they do, they get yelled at. And we're very good at that. We are very, very good. If you yell at children, they will not listen. They won't tell you the truth. Like your child coming to you, "Oh, mom, dad, I failed my maths." "What? How could you let this happen?" "No phone for 1 month." Yes, we do that. What do you think will happen? Is that going to change anything? Is that going to make the child pass the maths next time? No. Instead of finding solution, the first thing you want to say, in those days that the child was not there. In those days that we don't know. Or would you rather say, "Thanks for telling me. Let's talk about it." Let's talk about what has been making it hard. How do we solve this? So which one do you think makes them more likely to tell you next time? Because that is why some kids, before they get home, they will throw their results somewhere. And they won't even let you know. Ah, Niger, my people. Oh dear. Ah. Niger. Before you know it, they will go and type another result and bring it home. That is how you teach those children to become 419. Yes, it's your fault. Most of you parents, it's your fault. Because you're making them learn those things and they will improve with time and become a 419, a fraudster. Because from childhood, they are changing their result, they are rewriting, they are retyping their result because their parents are the Shango and the, what do you call it again?
Cruella.
Make sure they fit each other, Shango and Cruella. Match made in heaven. They will change it and bring it home. God bless my country. So I'll give you homework to do. Come up with one phrase you can start using when your child tells you something hard. It might be, "Thank you for trusting me with that," or "I'm glad you told me." Should I say that again so you can write it down? Because sometimes old age will make us forget things. Come up with one phrase you can start using when your child tells you something hard or something you don't like to hear or something you don't want to hear. And I'll give you an example. "Thank you for trusting me with that," or "I'm glad you told me." We all do mess up sometimes. So let's talk about repairing trust after a misstep. How do we repair the trust between a child and parents? Number one, admit. Admit what you did wrong. Like, "I yelled at you. instead of listening. It's not bad. It's not bad to say. It's simple. But we want to do the Cruella style. You want your children to fear you. You see, I keep repeating this. Fearing, making your children fear you is different from making them respect you. We mix it up. So I want you to think of one trust break you can repair this week. And yes, it might mean starting with, I'm sorry. So, let us wrap this up. You know, trust is built in drops and lost in buckets. And your firstborn, they get the first draft of your parenting. That's a heavy job for them and for you. This week, I want you to have one conversation with your first child about something important to them. Don't correct. Don't interrupt. Just listen. Because one day they are going to decide whether to come to you with the truth or to hide it. And that choice will be shaped by how you react right now. This is Uncluttered, where we speak love through truth. And I'm still your girl, Samba. Let's meet here next week, same time. Don't dull. Have a blessed week. Thank you.
Falls asleep on my chest. I'm so you're listening to Radio Africana.
Together, come on, baby, won't you hold?